Well, good morning and greetings and welcome each one of you to a good day. This is a good day, the day the Lord's made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. And we're thankful Brother Rustin and Sister Amanda Meister can be with us today. They were here almost 3 years, 2000 to 2002. So we're thankful to have them back. And I looked back and I saw Amanda sitting there and I thought, well, who'd she bring along with her? I said, man, those must be her neat nephews. Probably, I don't know who she brought along with them, but I know they're not her kids. Her kids can't be that old. I mean, that's what I thought. But anyway, welcome. And the boys, welcome. So, glad to have you this morning. And since we're walking through Nehemiah, we're going to continue that policy this morning, and then Brother Rustin will share with us this afternoon. So we're thankful for that. You know, there's two things that'll change us. Two change agents that I've read about, and I believe it's true. One thing that'll change us are the people that we're with. The second thing that'll change us are the books that we read. So those two things are change agents. And you think about your own life. If people that you've grown up with, people that you've lived closely with, those people really influence our lives. Wouldn't you agree with that? And then the second thing are the books we read. Now, I really desire to read more books this next year. Just because being retired, I've not had time to read books. And it may just be my fault, but I've not had much time other than the Bible. You know, the Bible's our go-to book. We need that, the Bible. And so, but today we're going to go to the Bible to a story, and it's going to be a. I'm going to say it's going to be a change agent today. I will. Nehemiah is going to challenge us, and so let's go to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I think of the scripture, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So let's look with fresh eyes at Nehemiah. And let's start reading it, verse 1 of chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee. We have not kept the commandments or statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that I commanded thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Let's sing a song together. Let's sing of the firm foundation. 221. Christ the foundation. 221.
Where the Lord.
Well, let's toward our Father's heart gaze. That's what we just sang out. Let's toward our Father's heart gaze. Let's do that. Let's kneel and pray. Father, we're thankful that even though we close our eyes and we kind of sense the temperature in our physical, we just, you know, what's it like in this room? Is it warm or cool, or how does it feel? And what's the noise level, and how do I feel, and, you know, what's going on inside my body, and how am I doing? And yet, Lord, in the midst of that, right now, we want to set our gaze upon Thee, Lord. And what a awesome, awesome privilege to set our eyes upon things above, to set our gaze upon Thee, our merciful Father that we just sang about, that we just read about, that the God that Nehemiah understood intimately. And Lord, we desire that. We thank Thee for the book of life, the book that we can read, that we can meditate in day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And that's what Nehemiah desired. And then thou shalt have good success. And that's what Nehemiah desired. And Lord, that's what we desire, to be successful in Thee, to be successful in Thy kingdom. Lord, to lay up our treasures in heaven, Father. So thanks for this time. Help us to let the things of earth grow strangely dim, Lord, in the light of Thy glory, in the light of Thy mercy, in the light of Thy compassion, in the light of Thy awesome power. And we even use the word terrible, meaning awesome. Father, we thank Thee for Thy awesomeness. And Lord, even as we are reminded of what Nehemiah prayed, Lord, that Thou art a great God. Thou art the Lord God of heaven. Father, that's just such a great description of Thee. And we thank Thee that Thou art the God of heaven, because we look at the heaven and we just are amazed, and we are overwhelmed at Thy wondrous power. So, Father, we look to Thee this morning just as Nehemiah looked to Thee. And, Father, it's such a privilege. And, Lord, we look out at the crowd here this morning, and it's such a joy to pray together. Father, you know, and there could be other ways to do it. I mean, we can pray individually at our bed. We can go for a prayer walk. We can pray in the car coming to church. We can pray beside our children's bed. We can pray at the table. We can use many opportunities to pray. But Lord, what a blessing to pray together, to come together and to lift our voice. And Lord, as we come to Thee and worship Thee as a wonderful God, we do want to tell Thee that we love Thee. We want to adore Thee, Lord. But we also want to confess, just as Nehemiah confessed, Lord, that they went astray and the penalty was paid. Father, and we ask Thee to forgive us when we use our own wisdom, where we seek our own way. And Lord, when we try to solve problems on our own and don't rely on Thee, Father, please forgive us for that, because it's not about us. And when we get tired and weary in the flesh, Father, we need to look to Thee in the Spirit, because Thy Spirit can strengthen the inner man. And we thank Thee that Thou dost dwell in our hearts by faith. So, Father, just we do confess that, again, we think our own thoughts, Lord, and yet You've given us a mind. We should think our own thoughts, but they should be thoughts from Thee, though, Lord. Our own thoughts should be Thy thoughts. Our ways should be Thy ways, and so forgive us. And we thank Thee. Lord, we thank Thee for many things. We thank Thee for the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens. We did the expanse of heaven, just unbelievable. And we thank Thee for converts. Father, we thank Thee for Bethany, who just recently gave her heart to Thee. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And then the several others that have just recently given their heart to Thee. Lord, just keep them from evil and guide them and direct them. But we thank Thee for that. We thank Thee for the blessing that, as from the elders, as they've shared it with us, and from Brother Ken, for blessing the elders as they got together. Lord, we thank Thee for that. And thank Thee for the conference on Friday. The many good messages, Lord, and we thank Thee for what we heard. And Lord, again, we could continue to thank Thee. I like to thank Thee for 10 things, but don't have time right now. So Lord, thanks. Accept our thanks. And Father, then we ask to open our hearts, open our eyes to Nehemiah, to his heart, to Thy heart, that we could be more like Thee from the people we meet, even the books we read, and even as we read this morning. Lord, change our heart for Thy kingdom and Thy glory. And we thank Thee for Jesus, and we love Him too. Thanks, Jesus, for loving us first, and thank Thee, Holy Spirit, for directing our time now for Thy glory. And Lord, we're thankful for the children that are here this morning, the young people, and the moms and dads, and all of us, each one of us, you know, the singles and the widows, and just each one, Lord, as we look to Thee collectively. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together for Thy kingdom and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, isn't he a minister? I let him go. Good morning. Welcome. Just as I prayed, as I look over the audience, and it's a blessing having you come in this morning. Thank you. And I mean, if you want to look around, look around. I'm looking around. Why not? I mean, just look around. What a blessing to have visitors, to have the home church, to have the converts, to sing together, to have our friends from India, blessing having them, and then coming together, and our friends from, we can say friends from Japan. Okay, I didn't see two heads that I see now. Good, I see them back there now. That's good. I mean, isn't it a joy to be together and to worship together? Okay, we read the book of Nehemiah. We're going to go to Matthew 5. It's just the Sermon on the Mount. Let's just read a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount, and then we'll go back to Nehemiah to kind of unpack that. I'm just going to pick a few select scriptures that tie in with what Nehemiah's heart. Let's start at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and love those Beatitudes. But which one of those Beatitudes, just skim them real quick, which one of those Beatitudes did we read about? While you're looking, I'm going to tell you just a quick 30-minute blurb. Okay, keep looking. You don't have to look at me. You can look at me. I don't care where you look. Some were looking up, and maybe you found it already. Good, I know you found it already, so you can look at me. But anyway, for us that were blessed to go with Jerry and Doreen, organize the trip, there's a path that walks up to the a mount. It's a beautiful path, and it's got poor in spirit, mourn, meek. It's got the Beatitudes, and it's in Israel, the little path that goes up to the mount and then the Beatitudes. And just, it's so special. But it's no more special than reading this in the sense. But it was a special time there. The one I'm thinking of is the Beatitude I'm thinking of is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Did you notice when Nehemiah, when he heard the report, he just started mourning. Blessed are they that mourn. And I just so appreciate that teaching, and I appreciate that in the life of Nehemiah. Let's go to chapter 6, just of Matthew. Verse 5, chapter 6, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So Jesus says, you know, blessed are ye when you mourn. Blessed are ye when you pray. And it gives an example of praying. Go to verse 16. Moreover, it says that on each one of these challenges to do things in secret. To give your alms in secret. You're to pray in secret. You're to fast in secret. But it's when you give. When you pray, when you fast, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I just wanted to read a little bit out of the New Testament to substantiate what Nehemiah was about. Is that enough? We could read more, but let's now turn back to Nehemiah. And let's look at Nehemiah. You know, and I love Nehemiah's heart. Do you know some people named Nehemiah? You know somebody named Nehemiah? It's a cool name. And you even like, I mean, from reading it, I'm sure you like it more. But let's look a little bit about Nehemiah and his character and Nehemiah's heart. Let's start in verse 1. Look at verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Now, Shushan is a place, that's the same palace that Esther was part of. Remember Queen Esther? She went to Shushan. So that's where that is. It's kind of the center of the Medes and the Persians. And so this is where Nehemiah was. And what was he? Was he a school teacher? No. Was he a businessman? No. He had a good job. He lived in the palace. He got to eat the king's food. Look at the last verse 11, clear at the end. What did it say? For I was the king's cupbearer. What is a cupbearer? A cupbearer is like a bodyguard, in a sense. You know, and Nehemiah had to be a good man. He had to be tough, but he had to be tender. And, you know, you probably, what you think of as a cupbearer would be somebody that made sure the king's food and the king's drink was not going to kill him. I read a story about a young girl that was worked in a kitchen, and General George Washington came to eat there. And she was suspicious of one guy, and she kept her eye on this one guy the whole time that meal was being prepared. And all of a sudden, she saw him take something and shake it on his food. And she saw that and she goes, I know that's poison. And they took it into General Washington, and General Washington was going to eat it. And she went in and got, and I don't know if all these details are right, but she got that plate and she threw it out the door. And they were all upset at her. What do you mean? This guy wouldn't do anything like that. And they watched the chickens come and eat it. The chickens came and ate that food, and the chickens fell flat and died. That's what Nehemiah would have to do. Nehemiah would have to watch the food and protect the king. That's what a cupbearer did. And he had a great position. Made good money, lots of money. He got to, he lived in the palace. Could you imagine a better job? I mean, you didn't have the responsibility of the king. You didn't have to make all those decisions, but you just got to be with him. What do you think, king? Your decision. I'll just, and what a great job. He was a king bearer. It's a fascinating position. He was a king bearer. But he had a great heart. Now let's look through these, and when we read through these, guess what we're going to do? I don't know what you're going to do. You can do whatever you want to do. But what I like to do is think, how does this apply to me? How does this affect me? How can I be like Nehemiah in a sense? Now, there's some great principles in here, and let's look at it. The first principle, I think, is in verse 2. Now, look at it. And Hananiah, one of my brethren, I think that was his brother. Could be his brother. His brother just got back from Jerusalem. So look at verse 2. It says, I asked. I think that's key. I mean, Nehemiah, here he is. His brothers came back and he stopped and he asked. And what did he ask? Look, concerning the Jews. He asked about the Jews. That's important. Highlight Jews. He asked about the Jews that escaped and left of captivity concerning, highlight, Jerusalem. He asked about two things. He asked about the Jews. He asked about Jerusalem. Did anybody ever ask you, oh, how things going in Indianapolis? Has anybody ever asked you that? I get that asked multiple times. I bet I've been asked that 40 times, maybe 50. I don't know. I'm just guessing, totally guessing. Has anybody asked you how things are going in Indianapolis? They do. They say, how are things going in Indianapolis? I think of two things. I think of the city. I think of all the people that live in Indianapolis. I think, how are things going in Indianapolis? But people ask. They really want to know. They want to know how things are going in Indianapolis. Then I think of the church. And I think, how would I answer that? Now, should I answer about the city? Downtown? The homeless? Should I answer about our church? How should I answer that? Hey, how's things going in Indianapolis? Oh, guess what I say? I say this almost every time. I don't know why I say this. What would you say? Could you guys give me a better answer than I come up with? Please. Oh, let me say this too. I'm digressing, but this is important. When we go to lunch, remember what we talked about last week? The goal is to talk a little bit about Nehemiah. Okay? So when we go to lunch, you got to be thinking right now what you're going to tell the person you're sitting with. Because we're going to try... And this is not required. It's just optional homework. It's un-homework. Okay? So when you go out, you have to talk a little, like 5 minutes about what you've learned or what you like about Nehemiah. 5 minutes. And then you can talk about something else. That's unhomework. If you don't do it, that's fine. Don't feel any pressure. We talked about that last week. And so, if you weren't here, obviously you don't. You get a homework pass. Okay? You don't have to talk about it. But listen, talk about it. That's just a thought. But how would you answer that? How's things in Indianapolis? Or if I'd ask Brother Rustin, come on up here. How's things in West Lafayette? I would love to hear his 2-minute response. How's things in India? How's things going in India? How's things in Japan? How's things in Francisville? How's things in Nashville? Who? I'm going to miss somebody. Come on. How's things in Peoria? I heard you had a wedding last. How's things going in Peoria? How's things in South Bend? How's things in Bastrop? What would you say? How's things in Remington? I don't know. Come on. Okay. Well, usually I say, and I don't know if this is a good thing to say, but usually I say, you know, we need revival. And they go, oh, you need revival? And I said, that's just my heart. It's the heart of Nehemiah. I think we need revival in a sense, don't we? As a city, as a person, I'm part of this church. I need revival. And we sang that. We sing that regularly. Revive my heart. Please revive my heart, oh God. But you know what else I say? And I've been saying this because somebody asked me at the conference, how's things in Indy? Well, we need revival. But you know what I'm really thankful for? I'm thankful for the converts. I'm thankful for those young, and it's mostly young people at this point. I'm thankful for those young people that have given their heart to Jesus. That's such a blessing. How's things in Indianapolis? We're thankful. But we need revival. And this book is, I think chapter one is a great story of revival. It's one of the most awesome stories that we've read in the last few weeks. Because if we go back, you know, start backing up, then we, there's a lot of things. So Nehemiah, I love that. He asked. And don't you like people that asked? You know, people ask about you. Some people ask about, you know, how's things going? How is it? You know, what's it like now? You know, what's going on? And some people like to just talk about themselves. You know, they talk and talk and talk, and that's okay. We need to ask and talk and interact. But I like the fact that Nehemiah asked, how's things going? And then the next key word is verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard. That's important. Highlight heard. I heard it. Nehemiah says, I heard that. Did you hear about the little boy that brought his, he took a test and this is hard stuff. And he got an F on his test. He failed his test. And his dad was home reading the newspaper, his feet propped up. Da, 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 da. You know, he just was kind of relaxing after work. He had a cup of, root beer right here. Drinking root beer, reading his paper, his feet up in the air. His son walked up and says, Dad, I'm sorry, I flunked my test. And the father says, good job, son, that's okay. And kept reading. Isn't that funny? Didn't hear a thing. I mean, you maybe, Nehemiah says, tell me about it. And then I love it that Nehemiah heard. That's the kind of man Nehemiah was. He would listen. If he asked a question, he'd listen. And look what happened after he heard. Verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted. And that's what we read in the New Testament. Jesus says, when ye fast and prayed, Jesus says, when ye pray before the God of heaven. And it goes on, and his prayer is beautiful. But he heard that and he sat down and wept. And I've been asking myself, how can I get a heart like that? How can I get a heart that just weeps? Because, I mean, I desire that heart. But if I'd start crying, I'd have to go look in the bathroom to make sure there are real tears coming down my eyes. You know, it's not that often it happens, does it? When's the last time you wept for situations like this? Now, so I asked that question. Lord, I think just give us a heart. Lord, give me a heart that's sensitive. Do you know somebody that weeps when they talk? And probably none of you probably know Nick Knobloch, and Nick Knobloch's going to be with the Lord. But you could talk to Nick Knobloch. He'd be talking along, and then he'd start telling a story about somebody, and he'd just cry. He said, they just touched my heart, and he'd just cry. So I don't know if Nehemiah, you know, if Nehemiah was like Nick, they both start with N. No, Nehemiah, no, Nick. Any connection? No. But
bet they both had a real tender heart. And he sat down and he wept. And I said, why did he weep? And I think the reason, we already read the reason, because he asked concerning what? Concerning the Jews. When you think back, you know, when Dad was in assisted living, we'd take him down the hall. It was a long hallway, and they had a table right here, and they had different publications on this table. And one of the publications was called the Cedar Creek Courier. I used to like to grab that Cedar Creek Courier and think, oh, what is the news from my hometown? Because Leo was my hometown, and I used to like to read about Leo. What is going on in Leo? I used to like to read, and I used to like to hear good things about Leo. And I like to hear about the people there. So, when he asked concerning the Jews that escaped, I think Nehemiah really had a heart for those people. I think about that. Nehemiah had a heart for those people. He was genuinely concerned about those people. And what was the problem those people had? Well, they had the temple. They had the church. This is a beautiful church. Didn't you comment on that? I think you commented on that. He said, the sanctuary is nice. This is a nice church. But you know, we are so blessed because we do not have, we're starting to deal with it. We do not have the security issue, do we? Not as much. Now we do. We're starting to have it. And it just bothers me. Bothers me that we have to have the security issue. Not that it's the security, but the fact that we have to have it. I think, oh Lord. Why do we have to have this security? You know, why do we lock that back door? Well, because the possible threats. You know, and I read an article about India, certain places in India, the people went to church. They're going to church to fast and pray. I would like to know how they fasted and pray as a church. That's not even in our radar. We can come to church. We don't fast, do we, when we come to church? it's just not our makeup. It's not in our DNA to fast when we come to church. We'll pray, but then we'll eat. We just eat. We love our food. And, God's blessed us with some wonderful food. Totally. But they came to the church. And it was locked. It was supposed to be unlocked. And so finally they got it locked, and they went in. And inside, the pastor was hanging from the rafters. They killed him. Some of the Hindus around killed him because of their outreach. And, you know, they told him to stop that, quit that, or they're going to be harmed. And he contacted the police. The pastor contacted the police, but they came and they hung him. Now, we don't have that problem. But if that was a problem, it all of a sudden turns our heart a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, if that was happening, what church you want to go to? Bluffton? Let's say Bluffton. They're a bunch of, you know, the community were getting upset with the people at Bluffton, and they'd even come into the church and do damage. That would be a problem. So as Nehemiah thinks of those people back in Jerusalem, they had the church, but they didn't have protection around it. And I think that was a part of the reason he had a heart. I think part of the reason he liked those people. He just liked those people. How are they doing? Remember? And what was the response? Verse 3. Look at the response. The remnant that are left in captivity. And there were some that had gone back. Because what was it? 14 years since Ezra had gone? And maybe 90 some since Zerubbabel had gone back? So Nehemiah maybe had known Ezra. He probably knew some. And his brother went back. He was concerned about those. And he talked about the remnant that was left. Verse 3, they are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned. And he heard about that and he wept. And he fasted. And he prayed to the God of heaven. Now, prayer is an important thing. You know, as a young group gets together, I was thinking, you know, if the young, when the young group gets together, what is something, what are some things important to talk about in prayer? Well, something that I find helpful, because young people, I don't know, I'd love to talk to you right now and just ask you, how's it going with prayer? Because I know when I used to pray, I just remember one time I got home late and I was really tired and I knelt down and I started praying on my bed and we were going somewhere the next morning and I was praying beside my bed and my friend was going to come and pick me up and I was praying beside my bed and of course I fell asleep. Boom, I'm out. Heard a knock on the door. My friend said, "You ready to go?" I'd been praying all night. Didn't pray a word. I just fell asleep, you know, on my bed. And I just wonder if sometimes that's not what our prayer life's like. I know sometimes this for me. I'll give you a little secret. Get up and go for a walk. You can never sleep while you're walking. At least, unless you sleepwalk, you'd have to be pretty good. Get up and go for a walk. That helps me. It just does help me. I'm telling you, it helps me. And I'm not that distracted. I don't like distractions when I pray. I don't like distractions when I read. But I can pray. Well, part of it is because Edie goes with me and we pray out loud. And we take turns praying. But we can pray. And you know, we try to pray like Nehemiah prayed. Look at the scripture. What did he do first? Now, can young people, I don't know if it's young people or not, but can I say young people? How do you pray? Use the prayer of Nehemiah. Okay? You say, "What? How did Nehemiah pray?" Remember this little acronym. And some of you know it, but I prayed it today. During my prayer, I prayed it today. Now think about it. Did you catch that? I think some of you did. And not that that's good, but I think that's a great prayer. A C T S, the book of Acts. No, the prayer, the Acts prayer in the book of Nehemiah. Acts, what do you do first? You adore God. And I did that. I adored God. The God, and that's what, look at Nehemiah, verse 5. "And I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven." That's enough. You think about that. He's the Lord. He's the God. He created heaven. And don't stop there. Rustin, I got one little story for you. Because whenever I go to West Lafayette, I always tell one little neat story about God's creation. So, and he followed up and he said, "I like that. I like every time Ron comes, every time he comes, he follows up with a story about God's creation." So guess what? Every time I'm going there, I'm going to have a story about God's creation. So let me give you one real quick so Russ won't be disappointed today. It was so neat. The grandkids are at our house and they said, "Grandpa, come here. That frog just ate a bug." I said, "You're kidding me." I hadn't seen that before. On our back door, it's a glass, got a glass window, and these frogs come out and they go in that back glass window and they just sit there. And the light's on just inside and these moths come and they fly around the frogs. You know, here sits a frog and this moth flies around here and that frog's just sitting there and you can watch his belly, watch his feet. And it's just plastic. You know, it's awesome. It's so cool. I can't believe it can sit on the window outside of my house. And so, here comes a moth. Right in front of the mouth of that frog. The frog just ate the whole thing. Its wings, its antennas, its eyeballs, everything. And swallowed it. And looked very happy. That's amazing. That is amazing. That a frog can eat a moth and live and like it and... I mean, how does that happen? Isn't that incredible design? I love it. I mean, I think God, he's the God of heaven. And that's how, so first you adore God. Listen, take some time and adore God. First, adore God. You say, what do? Remember the verses from Crown Financial? Some of you do. 1 Chronicles 29:11-13. It's a beautiful scripture. Thine... Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to give strength. Uh-oh, I think I'm derailed. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Use that. Go to the Psalms. Adore God first. Praise him. Then what's next? Verse 6, let thy ear now be attentive, thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee, day and night. He sought, and he knocked, and he kept on asking, kept on knocking, kept on seeking, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we, I love that, which we, he wasn't condemning them, he says we. You know, we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Now, that's the C. A, adore. C is confess. Now, you've heard this before, but it's so good. It's the way we need to pray, I think. Adore, confess. God. And when I prayed today, I said, you know, my thoughts aren't always your thoughts, God. And I would, at least that's why I am. I don't always think God's thoughts. Boop. Have you thought God's thoughts all this morning? Since you've been in church, have you thought God's thoughts all this morning? Yes or no? You know, sorry to say, sometimes our thoughts kind of wander. Bring them back. You know, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. We need to confess that. God, our thoughts are not your thoughts. We desire that our thoughts be your thoughts. Help our thoughts to be your thoughts and our ways your ways. And give us wisdom. Give us the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry I wasn't gentle. I'm sorry I wasn't compassionate. I'm sorry I wasn't loving there. God, I need your help. Okay, so he confessed. What else did he do? A, C, T. What's the T for? You know? A is adore. C is confess. T is thanks. And I said 10 things. Did you remember when I was praying I said 10 things? Usually that's what, I know I'm legalistic. I know I'm like the Pharisees. I know, and some of you thought that. Oh, quit being so legalistic. I don't care, make it 30 then. You know, I just stuck with 10. But when I pray, not every time, but when I pray, I try to thank the Lord for 10 things. And I look back and I said, Lord, thanks. Thanks for this. I mean, simple things like a safe trip from Japan where the kids weren't crazy. But we forget that, don't we? But we pray that. We pray that. Then we finally say thanks. Thanks, Lord, for a good conference. And Brother Ken, did you have a good conference? Had a good conference. He told me. I mean, you pray for that and you thank the Lord for that. On and on. At least 10 things. I don't want to be legalistic. I don't, you know, not too much, but it helps me pray. Otherwise, I'm like this. Totally, totally out. I can fall asleep at my desk. I can fall asleep on my knees. I can fall asleep at the kitchen table. I can fall asleep in the rocking chair. It's just prayer has a way of putting you to sleep. A, C, T, S. Then finally you get to ask. And what did he ask? Look what he asked. Remember, verse 8. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn to me, that is, just turn to me and keep my commandments and do them. Isn't that good? I love that. I love that combination. You keep my commandments and you do them. Though they, let's go to verse 11 now. O Lord, I beseech thee. This, now he's asking. Let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. God, we want to prosper. Please make us prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. And that's a great description. And grant your servant, grant Nehemiah mercy in the sight of this man. And this man was the king. You know, grant me mercy in the sight of the king. For I was the king... King's cupbearer. I just love that about Nehemiah, how he his heart was broken, how he cared about people, how he asked questions, how he listened and was involved. And Oh boy, how can we get this to application? And we have been talking about application. We've been talking about it. It's not like something, you know, it's not like, okay, just, you know, because we've been hopefully being somewhat intentional through this. But listen, I think there's times in our lives where we say, okay, God, what's next? What's next for me? You know, there's stages in life. You graduate from high school. You know, you graduate from college. You know, you're out in the work world. Lord, what? And there are decisions to be made. And we pray like this. We say, Lord, please grant me mercy in the sight of my boss. And that's exactly what Nehemiah prayed. And I think... I go back to a time when Edie and I were at a restaurant in Alabama, and we didn't have much money, nor did Brother John Wagler, who was down there, was a minister at Huntsville. But we were down there helping them on their Christian school, and he took us out to eat. And I knew I knew Brother John just didn't have a lot of money to spend, and back then it was a treat to go out to eat. How many of you have been out to eat? No, you don't know. How many of you have been out to eat three times this week? I mean, if we'd go once a month, we'd be happy. So, oh boy, quit talking about those times. But anyway, okay. I don't want to... Listen to the story. Brother John was sitting on the other side of the table. Edie and I were sitting on this side of the table. And we were... I don't even know what we had to eat. And Brother John looked at me. He looked at me. He says, Ron, will you serve the Lord the rest of your life? I go, never been asked that question. Will you serve the Lord the rest of your life? I said, yes, Brother John, I'll serve the Lord the rest of my life. And you know what he did? He wept. He sat right there in that restaurant and tears were running down his eyes. I don't know why, for sure. I didn't ask him why. But you know, that seems to be my heart even today. If God would say, Ron, will you serve me the rest of your life? I'd want to say yes. I'd want to say it with renewed commitment, just like Nehemiah. Now we're going to read about what Nehemiah did. We're just learning the character today above Nehemiah. But as we go on in chapter 2, you're going to learn what Nehemiah did. He's an awesome man, awesome brother. And he said, I'm willing to serve God, whether it's a cupbearer, or, you know, you could be in a cupbearer situation right now. But, you know, that may change. That may change soon. What is the heart? Or maybe God will have you at that job for 20 more years. You'll love the story because Nehemiah says, can I go back and build the wall? King says, how long are you going to be gone? I don't want you gone too long, buddy. You're my man. I like you around here. I don't know if I can find anybody to replace you. He says, okay, you can go, but you be back. I mean, we learn that further on. It's a great, great story. I love the story of the rebuilding of the wall. But Nehemiah was in the job, and he was committed to doing God's work, and God changed his plans. Now, Brother Ken sent out an email. We're going to vote for possibly another minister. That would be a change for some of you. But that'd be a great opportunity. Don't say no. Don't say it's not me. You can say you don't want to do it. It's fine. But just be willing to do what God wants you to do. You may go from a cupbearer to go building the wall. So I guess the question, and I'll sit down. The question is, are you willing to serve God the rest of your life, whatever that is? You know, maybe that'll make me cry. If you all shake your head, yes. If you all shake your head, yes. I might just start crying like Brother John did. But that's awesome. That's awesome. That's what Nehemiah's heart. Nehemiah's heart says, yes, whatever it is, Lord, I will do it. I'll go from being a cupbearer. And he saw the need and he said, man, there's a great need here. Can I go build that wall? I want to serve those people. I love those people back there. You know, we're changed by the books we read and the people we met. You'll be changed by reading the Bible, and you'll be changed by getting to know Nehemiah.
You know, I wondered if Ron was going to pull out a creation story and or example, and he did. And I never thought frogs would make their way into this morning sermon, and they did. And moths, and the frog liked it. You know, it's so easy to just look by those times where God's creation is literally right in front of us, and it's easy to just go, okay. And, or say, And it just sort of, kind of like that gentleman reading the newspaper and his son told him he just had failed an exam. I'm thinking of my boys, and I could kind of picture myself maybe not reading a newspaper, but maybe doing something different and say, "Dad, this happened," and and I smile, but that, you know, there's a level of conviction there. And so it's amazing that we learned about Nehemiah's character today, and it all started here with this simple example of Hanani coming to him and the simple question of Nehemiah to Hanani saying, "How are you doing? How are things going back in Jerusalem?" Just a simple question. And I just heard it recently said, or somebody mentioned that there's two types of people in this world. One of them is somebody who comes into a room and they say, "Here I am." And the other person is somebody who comes into a room and they say, "There you are." Always wanting to know about the other person, right? Always concerned about another person. How are you doing? How are you doing? And it's just easy to get reading that newspaper and, okay. And we miss God in the transactions of life, in the everyday things. And I think we just got a really powerful insight into Nehemiah's character, which laid just a tremendous foundation for the rest of the story, didn't it? And you know, I don't often talk about pet peeves, but I'm going to talk about a pet peeve here, and it's not my pet peeve. It's hopefully Amanda's okay with me sharing this, but it's one of her pet peeves. And so I'm kind of taking the story of Nehemiah, and I'm just going now into a very practical place of our homes, how we interact with our spouses and our children. And but oftentimes I'll be, you know, we'll be in the kitchen and she'll be talking to me and I'll be eating like something, like maybe a snack or something, and I'll just be, she'll be talking, and I'll say, and I'm like eating my food, and that just drives her nuts. And I say, and she says, "You're not hearing a word I'm saying." And I'm saying, "Yeah, I'm hearing you. I'm right there with you. I'm tracking with you." And then she'll have me go back a little bit, and I'll get lucky sometimes and repeat what she said to me. But many times I don't get so lucky. And so we think we're engaged, and we're really not. And God is all around us moving. And so how's Indianapolis doing? And we can just say, "Oh, good." Or, "How's West Lafayette doing?" "Good." And the frogs are on the windows, and God is working all around us, and we just, it's so easy to get into that stage. And so praise God that he gives examples like Nehemiah, accounts, true accounts, for us to really learn from and look in the mirror at and say, and don't say just, but say, "Lord, I adore you, I confess, I give thanks, and I pray for 10, 20, 30, 5, 1, 2 things," whatever it is. So may God bless the word this morning, Brother Ron, for bringing it to us. His grace is so good to us when you select to him.
We invite a brother to lead us in a closing prayer. We'd ask you to please include the noon meal as they're set up cafeteria style.
Father, we truly find it a wonderful place to be this morning under the sound of your word, the truth, words of truth, being reminded of, again, of who you are, Creator God from the beginning, who knew us before we even were formed, you say, in your word. And so that personal God that we can relate to, that we don't have to come up to, but we know that you came to us. And the heart of you is who we need to be, and how Father, we fall many times short of that. So we do confess our weakness, our failures, our sin, and ask that you would each and every day show us how we can be sanctified and set apart for your use and to your Son Jesus' name and glory, who we want. Just so thankful that we can lift up this morning, and so that we can as believers to find our place, just as Nehemiah did. He had the heart of a softened heart that was willing to be used, and we know what you did through him. And through Ezra, and through those who are those leaders at that time, but yet you call us in to be that too. So we're encouraged to know this, thankful for your mercies, traveling mercies, have you led us to hear this church here and believers that we immediately can connect with. So bless this church, the work that goes on, and we know and we see and feel. We're just thankful for the food and drink that's prepared for us too as we go to lunch now, and ask that you'd bless it and be in our conversation as we are challenged again in this morning. We just ask that in this day we can draw closer to you, but most important, to lift up your Son Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Amen.